You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. You will no doubt be aware of the outcomes for Indigenous kids in Alice Springs as a result of the further dispossessions caused by the intervention. I received a release from Community Caring for Kids Collective from Alice Springs, who wanted to put forward their views and solutions. They started their press release with "Caring for kids is everyone's responsibility. First Nation elders and community members call for change so that local kids get the support needed, including a 24/7 safe space for kids, somewhere to go to receive a hot meal, a bed and culturally appropriate care. Access to local facilities that will provide young people with safe and enjoyable activities, for example, free access to a swimming pool. Support for local events to engage children, example, barbecues with businesses and pop-up events where children can create art, theatre and play sports. Support to address intergenerational trauma in culturally safe ways so the community can experience healing together. Support to have a pick-up and drop-off service for kids to get them to a safe space. Support to getting kids on country to learn from their elders and address their needs for culture and safety." I got to speak to Peltree Chris Tomlin, Arunti custodian, and his assistant, Janelle, from the collective about their concerns and their solutions.
I read what you said in the media release, and I was wondering if you could talk to my listeners. What are you most worried about when it comes to your young kids?
Do you want to talk to that?
Well, that future. And it's like that question comes like 15 years of them being dispossessed of their country, and just the reconnecting of that, start that process, but it's one of many things. That's just one process, getting them back onto country so they can have that connection back to their country.
When they had the intervention, they took away a lot of stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, they took away the parents' responsibility.
Yeah.
Their rights to control and grow their kids up. And that was one of the things that we're just bringing up now, that we want control of our kids. And the way we can control our kids is back on country. And we're looking at ways of moving forward in that area. It's like a little road to self-determination. But that's not going to happen through the government. It's only going to happen through the people, through the communities, to support our rights to have responsibilities for our kids and our future of our kids, and also to our country. And that's what the main issue is focusing on, is everybody having a responsibility and sharing in the community and understanding what's really going on with our kids, because the kids are not the problem. And people have got to understand that, you know, as adults, as parents, can't sit back and point the finger and say the kids are making all this trouble. It goes a lot back further than that, and a lot of that cannot be explained in a nutshell. But the main drive is self-determination, responsibility, and getting our kids back on country so they can connect to their identity and who then what they are. And that's the first stepping stones to healing.
You were saying that the kids ended up in Alice Springs, for example, because everything was taken away from the homelands.
Yeah, well, when the intervention came in, it shut down over 140 communities and everybody got moved into town.
Mm.
And that's what created a lot of internal trouble amongst the tribal mob. Everyone all cramped up in one area, and you know, as tribal people, we have our own country and our own connection. So that brought a lot of problems into the town, just through the closures of the community.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's all about, you know, property damage and all that kind of stuff. But in actual fact, what's happened is they've disconnected all those young people from their actual country and their purpose, right?
Yep. And it's been 15 years, so a lot of kids are born into this dilemma now, disconnection, and I'm not understanding their identity and who and what they are. They're walking around like empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've come up with a plan, Community Caring for Kids Collective. And I was looking at the list, and some of it is really practical, isn't it? Like First Nations
yes.
elders and community members call for change, 24/7 safe space for kids, somewhere to go to receive a hot meal, a bed, and culturally appropriate care.
Yep. Well, one of the areas that were targeted, but they're still being approached through legal ways, so we're not bringing it up a bit too much. But we're looking at regaining some of the facilities there that can take care of the kids that were there since their grandmothers got taken. And we're looking at talking with the religious mob, the church mob, Anglicare about some sort of restitution.
Important.
Yeah. Then I'm helping us facilitate, because we know that the government's not going to do a thing. We just know that. And so it's up to the community and everyone to engage in this and start supporting us as one of the oldest living cultures on this planet to survive. And that's one of my main concerns, is that if we don't stand up and do something now, then our kids are going to be gone in about 20 years' time. That's the biggest fear, because our culture and our laws are not written in books, they're passed down.
Yes.
And you get the kids away, you stop that from happening, and then you more or less cut the head off the snake, so to speak.
So you talk about threats being made towards your children by people in Alice Springs.
What's been made?
Threats against the kids.
Yeah, because they looked at us the problem. And just kids going to finish school, or Aboriginal kids just walking to a shop, and they've got a security guard watching them straight away, following them around.
Hmm.
And it just makes them feel uncomfortable, intimidated.
Yep.
Every time they respond, they get more and more into trouble. So,
yeah, it just leads to one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
I think there's a level of community frustration, you know, that this is going on, and the media and the government are doing a really great job at blaming the children. So ultimately that becomes part of the narrative within community, that the kids are the problem, rather than looking at the systematic abuse that's been occurring over generations. And I think with the Community Caring for Kids, our priority is to look at the healing, and how do we begin healing that colonised trauma, and how do we do that as a community, a whole community coming together.
Yeah, I was really struck by really practical things that are being put forward for the community to seem so sensible, instead of all these outrageous things that they keep saying.
Yeah, well, what we know is that when community-led action occurs, it's sustainable, and it actually has an impact. And I'm not sure if you got to read that NT News article. But they also spoke about that what Yuparinya, the school, is looking at doing.
No, I don't.
Yeah?
Tell me about that.
So they're looking at getting some accommodation on the grounds for the school for kids to come in. I think they said for 24 children and families that are at risk, so that they can stay in the school and stay engaged with the school.
Is there any talk about the communities being, you know, the homelands being given back their services at all?
No, none of that's been. It's only the early stages where we're bringing this up, the community's bringing up. But hopefully that once we start getting it out there a bit more, the government will facilitate for it. We'll be looking at other places that might be able to help in those areas.
Because it seems to me that there should be almost a legal action against government for duty of care.
Well, there's all of that happening, sort of, but at the moment we just want to we just want the community to engage in this.
And we want the government to partner with us and to partner with community and support community-led action to ensure that those conversations are being had and actions can be funded towards that as an end goal. We know that kids that are learning on country are retained at school longer. We know, you know, that the importance of that. And the government knows that too. So we just need them to come in and get behind us and allow community to lead this process, because that's the thing that hasn't occurred and that's why we haven't seen change.
Yeah, it sounds very sensible to me, what you're saying. I hope you get some traction. I hope something happens good for you.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping, that we have experts coming in, like... when Albanese was the spokes in Alice Springs and said, this town is facing intergenerational trauma. And so we brought in experts like Judy Atkinson to come in and just create awareness to the broader community what intergenerational trauma is about and how it come about. And so that the community got a better understanding about our situation. And through that understanding, we'll engage more and support more.
Are you getting a sense that the broader Alice Springs community is understanding what's happening for you guys?
I think that's part of our initiative and what we really hope to continue to build on in the coming months.
12 months.
Just to constant community education and community engagement, so we can continue to bring community together so that we can learn together and heal together. And that's, you know, that's a big part of what we hope to continue to do.
So I'm down here in Melbourne. That's a long way away from you guys. Is there anything that people here can do that would be positive for you, that would be helpful?
Yeah, we're going to try to develop up some social media pages, and we're going to, same as what we're doing in Alice Springs, we're asking people to just come on board, whether that's just with their hearts or if they want to in-kind support towards the movement. So we're working on that at the moment, just to raise awareness and to get it out there, because what we know is that this isn't only happening in Alice Springs. This is an Australian-wide problem.
Yeah, it is.
The focus is on Alice Springs at the moment, but there's communities and people suffering across the nation.
Yeah, that's right. Work needs to be done. And the thing is that you know what works, don't you?
Well, yeah, definitely. What we know is community-led solutions work and they're sustainable.
Is there anything I should have asked you that you'd like to say? Is there anything you'd like to say that I could give you time for?
Uncle Chris?
No, not really. Just sort of like a wake-up call, and just for Australians, just to really have a change of heart and think serious about what's really going on with the oldest culture in this country. And we're down to 3% now. And we're looking at doomsday, and we're looking at how we're going to heal that. How can we fix that? How can we all work together as a community on it? And yeah, that's one of the just creating awareness to the community that, you know, we're not dangerous people. We have done no harm to anyone, and we just want to have the rights to grow our children up on that country at the end of it all, you know?
Yeah, thank you for talking to me. Thank you for giving me some time.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for getting our message out there.